they have to start winning more games than they lose. And so I don't think it's an unfair expectation at all for them to have a season above 500 and have a contending season in the division. There are good teams in the division. There are also question marks. Minnesota has proven that they're the class of the Central Division, but you've got guys that are getting up there in age. Chicago had a really good year last year. They faded a bit at the end, but they took a big jump forward. They're a team that plays with a lot of emotion. That can be a good thing, and that can also work against a team being successful. I think Tony La Russa was a good addition for them because I think he'll be a good steadying force for that. Detroit's rebuilding, and Cleveland is. Cleveland's always going to be better than they should be because of their manager, Terry Francona. So there are good teams, but there are a lot of question marks, and I think the Royals should be right in that mix.
That's just a taste of what you're going to hear, Ryan Lefever. Voice of the Royals will join us coming up here at the bottom of the hour as the Royals back in action day at 12:10 first pitch. It'll be Jake Junis on the hill for the boys in blue in Cleveland to take on Shane Bieber, who is the reigning AL Cy Young Award winner. Royals 3-1 to start the year. Cleveland is 1-3. Royals had an off day yesterday, and we will talk a lot more Royals baseball with the voice of the Royals, Ryan Lefever, coming up here at the bottom of the hour. We throw it to Dusty. Lots of sports yesterday. Also, postseason assignments been released by Keisha. We'll let Dusty cover all of that.
Yeah, a ton of local area athletes competing yesterday and competing very well. We'll start with the team sports baseball scores from yesterday as Beloit picked up their first win of the season against Minneapolis, the first game of that doubleheader, a 1-0 pitcher's duel as Logan Arrowsmith got a complete game, one-hit shutout, in that first game to get the win. Minneapolis had runners at second and third in the top of the seventh inning, but Arrowsmith and the Trojans got out of that jam to hold on to the 1-0 win. Wesley Adolph had a RBI double in the second to have the only run for Beloit. Spencer Davidson, who had that no-hitter last week in Minneapolis' first win and first game, he allowed just one run on four hits in six innings. But again, Beloit edges Minneapolis 1-0 in game one. Game two didn't go quite as well for the Trojans, Minneapolis winning 13-3. And that one, Minneapolis led 5-2 going into the sixth and then scored seven runs in the sixth inning to break away there from Beloit in game two yesterday. So Beloit goes 1-1. They're now 1-5 on the season, 1-3 in the NCAA. Minneapolis is 3-1 both in the league and overall this season. Also, Concordia winning, getting a sweep over Sacred Heart 10-0 in six in game one and winning game two 13-3 in five innings. Beloit Lady Trojan softball team gets a sweep over Minneapolis on Tuesday, winning the first game 13-2, taking the second game 16-0 in three innings. The Lady Trojans now 4-0 overall and 2-0 in the league. Minneapolis 2-4 overall, 2-4 league play. Soap and Lucas Lincoln softball team split with Ellis yesterday, 10-3 win in the first game, and Ellis beat Soap and Lucas Lincoln 18-14 in the second game, as the Letty Mustangs are now 3-1 on the season. Sacred Heart and Concordia split their game, doubleheader, I should say, yesterday. Sacred Heart won 5-3 in the first. Concordia won the second 2-1. Other baseball scores and softball scores can be found at ncksports.com. St. John's Track and Field Invitational was held on Tuesday in Beloit as well. Team champions on the girls' side, Bennington, 105 points ahead of Lakeside in second with 92. And on the boys' side, St. John's won the team championship, 127 points. Osborn was second with 81. Individually, I'm going to go through the gold medal winners, and you can find full results for this meet at ncksports.com. From the area, gold medal winners in the 400-meter dash, Shelby Ford of Lincoln. Also in the 800-meter run, Jalen Weese of Tipton. 1,600 and 3,200 runs were both won by J.C. Vath of Lincoln. 100-meter hurdles, Lauren Dubert of St. John's. Caitlin Howland of Lakeside won the 300-meter hurdles. In the 4x800-meter relay, Tipton finished in first place. High jump went to Lauren Welchel of Rock Hills. Pole vault to Lauren Dubert from St. John's. Also, Rachel Gangler of St. John's winning the long jump gold. Moving on to triple jump, Bailey Cunningham of Lakeside in first place. Riley Stramble-Smith of Lakeside won the shot put. Also in the discus, Gracie Reiner of Osborn and Lauren Dubert picked up her third gold medal, winning the javelin first place there on Tuesday. On the boys' side, Braden Perez winning first place in the 100-meter and 200-meter dashes. Jace Schoen of Lakeside taking the 400-meter dash. Reagan Bales of Osborn wins the 800 and 1,600-meter runs. Also, Caleb Eilert of St. John's taking first place in the 3,200. 4x100-meter relay, it was St. John's team of Blake Perez, Jared Eitzman, Ben Thompson, and Braden Perez with a time of 45.31, which is a new school record for St. John's on the boys' side of the 4x1. The St. John's 4x4 team also took first place. And in the 4x800-meter relay, Osborn won the gold medal in that event. High jump went to Jace Schoen from Lakeside. Grant Myers, Brock Hills won the pole vault gold medal. Blake Perez won both of the jumps there in the sand pits. The long jump, Blake Perez of St. John's wins, and he also won the triple jump for St. John's. And then in the shot put, Dayton Callis of Sylvan Lucas was first place. Brian Shaw of Thunder Ridge won the discus. And Wyatt Eberle of Lakeside winning first place in the javelin. So look at what happened yesterday at the St. John's Track and Field Invitation. Again, full results are at ncksports.com. High school golf yesterday opened out for a lot of our area teams at the Smith Center Redmond Invitational. Phillipsburg won the team title. Smith Center second, Osborne third. Ty Sides of Phillipsburg in first place individually, shooting an 81 on the day. Kylan Cunningham of Lakeside finished in second, rounding out top five from the area. Grady Walters of Osborne was in third place. Again, full results as well for that can be found at ncksports.com. You can get on the website and find the Spring Sports Regional Assignments as well. Kansas State High School Activities Association had a website that was down last week, or else I think these would have been out just a little bit sooner. But we have them released now, and in Class 3A, the Beloit Trojans will be hosting a track and field regional on May 21st there in Beloit. Teams are ranging all the way from Central Kansas to Northeast Kansas that are coming to Beloit in that one. Also in Class 1A, Rock Hills Regional in Mankato on May 21st. All of our area teams, St. John's, Lakeside, Tipton, Osborne, Rock Hills, Sylvan Lucas, Lincoln, Thunder Ridge, Glasgow, and Pike Valley are competing there in Mankato, along with other teams from North Central and Northwest Kansas there in Mankato coming up on May 21st. Then in Class 2A, it'll be Smith Center competing at the Hill City Regional there on May 21st. Those teams are going to range from all the way from Central Kansas to Southwest to Northwest Kansas and in between at Hill City. High school golf, the Beloit Trojans will be competing in the 3A regional hosted by TMP Marion and Hayes on May 17th. Again, Beloit going to Hayes in that one. In Class 2A golf, Smith Center's at the Republic County Regional. And then in Class 1A, Osborne's at the Frankfort Regional in boys golf. So, those can all be found, those regional assignments at ncksports.com from the Kansas State High School Activities Association. One other note that we do pass along, we can tell you that Sandgreens, again, will not have a regional this year, as they will just have their athletes and teams that will qualify for state based on marks that they acquire throughout the season. So, that's what's coming up as far as that one is concerned with Sandgreen. State golf will be in Tipton, but again, no regionals. They get in by qualifying marks through the regular season. So again, all those Keisha regional assignments and all the results from yesterday's high school sports can be found at ncksports.com.
All right, busy day of sports, and we were able to dodge the weather and get all that stuff in yesterday. Beloit baseball and softball moved up their games, and that was probably a wise decision. KU men's basketball losing an assistant coach to a Big 12 school, Jarence Howard. First it was Andrea Hootie, and now it's Jarence Howard. Basketball assistant coach Jarence Howard is leaving KU for a spot on newly named Texas head coach Chris Beard's bench in Austin. Bill Self announced the news yesterday in a release. Howard was an assistant for KU for 8 years, and in the interim, video coordinator Jeremy Case, who used to play for KU, will move into Howard's role for now, and that the plan for a replacement in the long term was still not known. The move to Case buys Kansas some time to consider all of its options, and is made easier by the fact that the NCAA recently extended the recruiting dead period, meaning no travel for recruiting through May 31st. Of course, Andre Hootie left KU to join Shaka Smart at Texas a couple years ago. Howard, who played for Self at Illinois, played a key role in recruiting during his 8 seasons under Self, with some of his biggest contributions coming in the past 3 to 5 seasons. And he's a 40-year-old coach with a lot of energy, and now he goes to the University of Texas. So we'll see if what KU does in regards to finding an assistant coach. Their new athletic director, Travis Goff, will be announced officially at a press conference coming up here today. Of course, he is a Kansas native from Dodge City, KU alum, and there's the ties that Brian Haney, the voice of Jax, is saying that they probably should look into connection and really truly fully invest and understand what KU is all about, something that was not what Jeff Long was all about in regards to that. Although, who's to say you can't have great athletic directors go to institutions where they don't have a connection to that university? It's happened before, and so forth and so on. But this might be the right fit for Kansas, and Goff is a young guy at, 40 or 41 years of age. So he could be the idea a long time at Kansas, or he could be gone in 2 years, the way things are going at Kansas, it seems. NBA news, James Harden has been sidelined with a hamstring strain. He's probably going to be out for at least 10 days. He is having an MVP-type season since joining the Nets. But good news for the Nets is that Kevin Durant is probable to play tonight against the Pelicans. He's only played 19 of 51 games. He's had a hamstring injury. So the Nets seem to have, you know, it's a nice luxury to have. You have three superstars. They never play together because one's always hurt, but you always have two that are usually available. So the Nets fighting for the Sixers, who led by Joel Embiid, who is having an MVP-type year, the former Jayhawk. He dominated last night in a win over the Celtics. The Sixers and Nets fighting for that number one spot in the Eastern Conference. Also in the NBA last night, you know, you hear about making shots. When you make shots, everything's easier. The Atlanta Hawks, did you hear what they did last night?
I did not.
The Atlanta Hawks last night went 11 for 11 from three-point land in the third quarter.
Oh, that's cool.
In one quarter.
Yeah.
They had 33 points off of 11 threes. They were 11 for 11. It's an NBA record for threes made in a quarter without a miss. 11 for 11. They scored 46 points in the third quarter. Pretty impressive. The Hawks are now 13 and 4 since Nate McMillan took over as their head coach. And the Hawks moving up on the Eastern Conference standings. The previous record was 9-for-9 by the Cleveland Cavaliers as the Hawks win last night and 11-for-11 for three in the third quarter. That is perfection. The Major League Baseball All-Star Game has been moved. If you did not hear, it has been moved to Denver from Atlanta, Georgia. And, of course, politics involved there, and there was a lot of pressure on the commissioner, Rob Manfred, to move it due to the new voting laws down in Georgia. And some people feel like that was the right move. Some people feel like it was not the right move. That's how it's going to be with any decision in America for the rest of eternity, probably. And there were pressure. There were a lot of corporate sponsors that were talking about pulling out of being sponsors of the All-Star Game and festivities, and that's where you really can make your voice heard is by withdrawing your money. So when people immediately say, well, the commissioner should have stood firm, he should have done and just kept it in Atlanta, there might certainly be some reasoning behind that. At the same time, he has a business to run. And if the All-Star Game was going to not be sponsored, and all corporate sponsors were like, we're pulling our ties with Major League Baseball. Money speaks louder than words. That's just the way things roll in this country, mm-hmm. unfortunately. And so he does have a business to run. The one thing also that was, I thought, made sense in moving the game, if you felt like you really needed to move it, and that was, if you got closer to time, you'd have players starting to boycott. I think you had players that would have pulled out of the All-Star game, and then you would have had even more of a headache in dealing with an All-Star game without their All-Stars. Mm-hmm. And it would have even been more controversial. So I think Rob Manfred was just being ahead of the curve here. And plus, he was receiving pressure from corporate sponsors and said, listen, we're going to move it out of Atlanta, Georgia. Now, the unfortunate thing with any decision is there are good things about decisions, there are bad things about decisions. The bad thing is there are a lot of people and businesses that are counting on income in Atlanta, Georgia. And many are Black-related business owners and businesses that will now be hurt financially by not having this income come into the state of Georgia, but specifically Atlanta, Georgia. And that is something that someone brought up, and that would be accurate as well. Mm-hmm. So in a way, it's a decision by a few people, elected officials, had a huge impact, and also Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball, and corporate sponsors, those people one domino fell to another domino to where Atlanta loses the Major League Baseball All-Star Game, and thus some people that had really no dog in the fight in some cases are going to lose out financially other ways. And it just, you hate to see it. I hear people say all the time, well, politics and sports, they keep politics out of sports. It's always been in sports. You know, people act like it just happened the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Like politics just happened when Donald Trump became president. Politics got into sports. No, it didn't. All right? No. All you got to do is go back to the Olympics in 1968 to understand politics and sports. I mean, politics has always been a part
go
of
back
sports.
To Jesse Owens in 1936.
We can go 1936. Yes. I mean, exactly. You can go way back.
Yeah.
Politics have always been a part of sports. Always. So don't sit here and act like this is something new. It's now maybe because there's more media coverage, it seems like it's more than it's ever been. Maybe politics is becoming a bigger player in sports than it should be. I wouldn't necessarily disagree with that. But Major League Baseball for Atlanta's loss is Denver, Colorado's game.
Yeah, so. I would like to be that person that says keep politics out of sports.
No,
right?
Because you can be, but a lot of people can be that person. But that doesn't mean you will.
It's just not something that's ever going to happen.
I mean, there's going to be pressure.
There's going to be pressure no matter what. There's going to be something that comes up on the outside looking in that they're going to get worked into sports, whether you like it or not. And that's 100% what this is, obviously. And so you just got to kind of roll with the punches. I mean, it is unfortunate for the people that you are hurting.
Yes.
Based on a rule that you're trying to help those people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or a stance, I guess, that you're trying to help those people with.
Right.
And so, you know, it is a double-edged sword in some of those, catch 22, whatever you want to say about it. But, yeah, I mean, that's the almighty dollar is driving everything. So if you're losing money, no matter what it is in this life, most people are going to take the route that's going to get you that money back or that's going to keep you that money.
Mm-hmm, right.
And so that's just the way it is. And it's what we see here. And I guess power to the Major League Baseball to make the decision that they want to make for the betterment of their organization. Because, again, in the end, it's their decision. And this is the decision they made.
That's the one you have to live with now. Yeah. So Denver, Colorado will host the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. Another NBA note, Steph Curry last night scored 41 points, 14 of 21. He's not even 100%. 5 of 10 from three-point land as the Warriors broke a three-game losing streak, beat the Bucks 122-121. Giannis did not play. He was out. Steph Curry last night set another NBA record. It was the eighth different NBA season where he's hit at least 200 threes in a year. Eight different times he's hit 200 threes or more in a season. That's insane. Very, very insane.
Yes.
It's time for K-State in Focus. Our focus on Kansas State athletics, brought to you by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit. It is a Wednesday, time to focus on K-State athletics, brought to you, as we just heard, from Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit. Doug Steele, update us on what's taking place with K-State athletics here recently.
Yeah, and the transfer portal is just a Bruce Weber problem. We know that, right?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, no other coaches deal with it, just Bruce Weber. It's just his problem.
Well, the day after K-State finished spring practices, three guys have entered the transfer portal for K-State football. So two of them are Kansas kids that I don't think a lot of people were expecting a lot from, and C.J. Horton and Drake McCall. But Jay Harris, who was from Pearland, Texas, in Shadow Creek High School, one of the best recruits, the fourth-rated recruit that Chris Kleiman brought in 2019 at linebacker, has entered the transfer portal for K-State. So they've lost three guys just right after spring practice has ended on the football team. So that's the bad news for K-State, I guess. But the good news is they do have a wide receiver coming in. It's a pretty familiar name, Kurt Warner's son, Cade Warner, who was at Nebraska for three seasons. With the new rule, does have 2 years of eligibility remaining coming to K-State. He caught 30 passes for 236 yards in his three seasons at Nebraska. So, again, decided he wasn't being used enough in Scott Frost's program and system. So he decided to make it known that he wanted to transfer earlier this spring, and I guess earlier in their spring practices, and decided K-State was the next place for him. So, Warner coming to K-State, three guys leaving, but Cade Warner should, I would hope, add a little bit of depth to K-State's receiving corps because they kind of need that at this point in time.
Absolutely. Our focus on K-State athletics today brought to you by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit. Today is National Beer Day.
I will celebrate.
I'm willing to celebrate that, yes. I'm willing to do that as well, especially after how poorly I did in all these NCAA tournaments contests that I was partaking in. By the way, our bracket contest, Bryce Beisner was the winner, winner take all, first place. And I was looking at the Gerstner battle at our house. Dusty did a great job of keeping this updated for folks. And no surprise, this would have been my prediction before it even started, that either my wife or my 7-year-old son would win the bracket contest. I helped him fill it out in regards to, I said, which team, because he can't read all of those.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, which team do you take? He took some 15s and whatever. But here's the thing. So in our contest, I don't have the whole thing, but I finished just one spot ahead of my oldest son, which is about, I think it was about middle of the pack or a little bit lower of the middle of the pack. My wife finished dead last, so I at least can woohoo, because she usually does great in it. Although she had a bracket she put in, I think, at the school or something, where she had UCLA in the Elite Eight, and nobody had that.
Would have been middle of the pack if she would have used that one.
Yeah, which, but still, both of her brackets, one of them was better than my oldest son and me, and then the other was worse than anybody, so she covered all that. But still, our youngest son, who's seven, who loves sports and does play-by-play all the time, it's almost annoying, and that's how I was when I was growing up, so now I know what my mom and dad went through. But it's awesome. He's so excited, and now he's into basketball, and then he'll go into whatever seasonal sport, baseball will be next, loves football. He won the Gerstner contest, the Gerstner family bracket contest. The seven-year-old won it. I would have bet that he would have won it before the thing started. Yep. I'm not surprised. Not surprised at all. And by the way, Dusty Lowry, you did not finish dead last this year. Congratulations. My wife wins that honor, which I'm sure she's really, really happy or even cares about, but she, I let her know last night. I go, hey, honey, you finished last. She's like, eh, whatever. I got to do laundry now. Like, okay, sounds good. And then in our player draft that we do with friends of mine, and Dusty's part of that, I finished second to last. I finished second to last. And my my oldest did the best he's ever done. He finished fourth, but just out of the winnings. And so we were at the baseball game last night, and B. Fincham, who's part of our group, he was doing the PA. He goes, I finished last, didn't I, in our thing? And I said, no. I said, John finished last, and then I finished second to last, and I think you were third to last. He goes, oh, yeah, that was another one. I go, wow, you had a great couple of drafts. You finished last and third to last. Remind me not to follow your advice.
Yeah, exactly.
I had the number one overall pick, for crying out loud. And the guy that had the last pick finished third. So, and the guy that finished first was picking 15 seed players with, and it worked.
Yeah, man, he hit the right ones.
Yeah,
didn't he
did.
Like, it's like every single one that he had to hit right was right.
What's crazy about it, Johnny Juzang for UCLA, not a single UCLA player was drafted in our contest. And Johnny Juzang had 137 points. Top player was Drew Timmy of the guys that were drafted for Gonzaga. My son had that. But Juzang had 137 points. And if we have, what was it? We had 15 or 13 guys 15, in our thing. Everybody, if on the last pick of the draft, and I had the very last pick of the draft, and I took 11 seed, a Syracuse guy who had been averaging 14 a game and scored 5 points in the whole tournament. But if I'd taken Juzang, I would have finished second.
Yeah.
And the last place guy, if he took Juzang, he would have finished second. And everybody else, if they'd taken Juzang with their last pick, would have won it all.
Oh, yeah.
By one player. The best tournament score was a guy on 11 seed who was in the play-in game, and nobody drafted him. Nobody. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Next year, and you guys won't remember, you might. Nobody else is going to remember. But next year, I'm going to put together all the point totals. I'm going to have my sheet, and people are going to pay me for that sheet. Because I'm the one to put all the information together, and then all they do is go, all right, here's the third highest scorer on Duke. I'll take that guy. You know? And then they're the ones that make the money off of my research and information. Something's wrong here. Why do I do it? I don't understand why I do it. Obviously, it's not the win. Not at all. So, great year for me. Hey, COVID ruined the tournament last year. That spared me a last-place finish and losing money. There was one good thing that came out of COVID for me last year. Yeah. There was no tournament I could do horrible on. No bracket I had to burn. This year, burn. Player list, draft, number one pick. Yay, that's great. No, I've never had the number one pick ever. And I finished second to last. It's pretty sad when your biggest thing you can brag about is, well, I didn't finish last.
That is.
You finished middle of the pack, I think. Middle of the pack.
Yeah, and the player thing.
Not bad enough to be worse, not good enough to be in the money.
The big thing was like lower third, but
yeah, you did worse than my 7-year old as well.
My problem with the bracket was I bought it into the Big Ten hype. If I would have played through with those one seeds, I would have got both into the national championship at least. I would have been wrong on the champion. I probably would have picked Gonzaga.
Right. Well, two Big Ten teams were one seeds though, Illinois and Michigan. So if you would have had that,
made fun of for taking all four ones to the Final Four when some people were going crazy and picking Arkansas to make the Final Four, or Alabama to make the national championship game,
or some morons picking Illinois to win it all. I don't know who that would be.
Well, and I did that myself.
I had that. Yeah, absolutely. All right, Ryan Lefevre.
I picked Michigan to win it all.
Yeah, you had Michigan win it all. Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, there's always.
The train was too strong, and I bought into it.
There's just. There's always next year.
Yeah.
There's always next year. So I look forward to faring miserably like I usually do in these things.